Our scripture lesson today comes from the 43rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. This text is one that may sound familiar to some of us or may be a first time to hear it. The most frequent time that I read this scripture, at least out loud, is in the context of funerals. It's one of the many passages that we tend to read as we celebrate the good news of the resurrection in moments where we face death head on. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. From the prophet, God is speaking to the people of Israel, to the Hebrews, as we just heard, who are enslaved as exiles living in Babylon. And this is what God has to say. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the most powerful and poetic reflections on this text comes in the classic church hymn, How Firm a Foundation. We'll sing it in just a few moments. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in God's excellent word. What more can be said than to you God hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled? What more can be said than God has already said? What more can be said than what we hear in this scripture in particular? In all of the Old Testament, perhaps in all of Scripture, this is one of the strongest affirmations of God's love, God's unequivocal love given to the people of Israel, to the Hebrews, that God has walked throughout their journey with. God says, even though you are in a time of exile, even though you feel utterly abandoned, I have not forgotten you, and I will not abandon you, and I know you so well that I have named each and every one of you, and I love you. What more can be said than what God has already said? Even in the midst of exile, even in a dark time, even when we're filled with so much fear, God says, I have called you by name. You are mine. That great hymn continues, Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Some of the most repeated words in all of Scripture. And here in this short passage, do not be afraid, do not fear, occurs twice. The prophet doubles down on not being afraid. Do not fear, he says, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. Redeemed. That's a word that we've given a whole lot of extra religious meaning to throughout the ages. But at its core, at the very beginning, the word redeemed was a family word. It's what happened when someone passed away in a family and left dependents who had to be cared for, widows or orphans, those who couldn't take care of themselves, were redeemed when another family member stood up and said, I will take care of you. Being redeemed means being claimed by a family member. And then he says, I have called you by name. You are mine. These words grow out of the ancient way that adoption was practiced in the Hebrew community. When a parent was adopting a child, after all the process played out, the final step was when the new parent called the child by their name. That sealed the deal. You are mine. Your family and my family are now one and the same. My heritage is passed on to you. I have called you by name. In these deeply personal, deeply familial images, God says, I have not forgotten you. You are my own family. Do not fear. I've called you by name. Friends, we know that every time we stand at these waters of the baptismal font, we're reminded that God calls each and every one of us by name as well, as God's own adopted children, redeemed by His Son, Jesus Christ. God calls us by name here. The story is told of Martin Luther, who wrote the beautiful words, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that go with the beautiful piece that Randy played earlier and that you'll hear again at the close of worship. The story is told that when Martin Luther was at his lowest point, in the midst of all the worry and fear and struggle that came launching the Protestant Reformation, at a time where he was under arrest and under trial and being condemned by authorities, that he tapped on his forehead and he said to himself, I am baptized. That was the reminder he needed on his deepest, darkest day. I am baptized. I am a child of God who has been claimed in those waters. That's what he needed to remember, to not be filled with fear. In those waters, we are claimed and called. And that hymn picks back up with that same image. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be near thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When we go through the deep waters, that's a powerful biblical image, because early on, going through the waters was something good, something valued, something important. It was passing through the waters of the Red Sea that the Hebrews had been freed from a life of slavery and entered into the wilderness where they wandered. And 40 years later, it was in passing through the waters of the Jordan River where again they had a pivotal transitional moment that defined them as a community. No longer the wandering nomads, but now the people with a home, with a promised land of their own. But now that image of being by and going through the waters has become a hard and a harsh one while the people are in exile. In the Psalms, we hear the cry of those enslaved when they say, by the waters of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, our tormentors, our captors, our enslavers forced us to sing the songs of our faith for their mere entertainment. by the waters. So God says, you'll pass through those waters again. But when you do, don't only be reminded of the immediate time of struggle. Remember all the ways that God has led us through the waters to define who we are today. And then, just as the prophet does, the hymn reverses the imagery. It's now no longer water, but instead fire. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Fiery trials, we all face them in our own lives. Our own kinds of personal or communal exile. We all face ordeals that we wish were not the case. We have our own fiery trials. Maybe it's the diagnosis that comes, shaking our world to its foundation. Maybe it's the loss of a job, or the struggle with an addiction that we cannot beat, or turmoil in the life of someone we love, or the loss of someone we held so dear. Maybe it's the fire flashing of anger, or the flame of fear, or the smoldering coals of distrust, or the ash of abandonment. We all face our own fiery trials. And God says, when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This past year, a friend of mine passed away. And in the midst of visiting with him throughout the months, you could tell each time he was doing a little worse and a little worse, a little weaker and a little weaker. The final time I went to visit, he was under hospice care, and he looked at me and he said, "Buzz, the Lord will get me through this." He knew what was coming. He knew what his next few days would hold. And with the firm, confident faith, he could repeat the same words that he said earlier on that journey. "The Lord will get me through this." Now, months before, that phrase probably meant that he was hoping for physical healing in his body. But now, at the other end, he meant something different by those same words, that the Lord would get him through the days that were about to follow. That though we go through fiery trials, we are not consumed. We read this scripture at his funeral as well. The last stanza of the hymn concludes, "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." In this text, God makes a promise to the people who have been in exile. God makes a promise to us in the midst of our own exile. And unlike us, God always keeps promises. Yesterday morning, about 7 o'clock a.m., I found myself in the grocery store, which is not a regular habit for me on Saturday mornings. But I'd promised the kids that we were going to have pancakes. And it was only after putting the Bisquick in the bowl and after measuring and pouring the milk that I realized there were no eggs in the house. Even though I only needed one egg, None of our neighbors have chickens, and I didn't want to call anyone to wake them up at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, and so I found myself at the grocery store for one egg. I talked to the cashier and said, "Yeah, you know, I promised the kids we'd have pancakes today," and she said, "Oh, you better be careful making promises to kids, because if you don't keep them, they remember." She said, "My husband promised years ago that he was going to build our kids a treehouse. And they're in their 30s now and still won't let go of it." She said, "We hear about that treehouse that never was all the time. So you be careful with your promises." God is careful with promises, but God always keeps them. God promises to those that have been called by name into God's own family. God promises to never, no, never, no, never forsake us. No matter how deep the flood or how hot the flames, God promises a homecoming for the exiles. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.